This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
I had a wave of nostalgia over the weekend watching the NFL and football with the playoffs. The Dallas Cowboys last night against the San Francisco 49ers reminded me of the catch. You go back to 1981 and Joe Montana. I remember where I was at my cousin's house by the airport. And as a kid, I liked the Cowboys. Tony Dorsett, Roger Staubach, they had this great, you know, America's team. I'm not so sure that's still the case, but at one time it certainly was. And Joe Montana just broke their backs and then went on to beat the Cincinnati Bengals to win the Super Bowl. I had that whole feeling of watching football over the weekend because there's so many great players right now. And I know there have been a lot of great players in the NFL over the years, but I don't remember a time in a long time where we've been at this point with all the quarterbacks.
I agree. The quarterbacks are phenomenal.
Well, I mean,
you look at Patrick Mahomes,
Joe Burrow, who was injured in that game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I even got to be honest with you, because Trevor Lawrence, his face drives me crazy, the hair. But he is a stud, you know, has kind of come into his own, you know, in year two. And then you get Joe Burrow against Josh Allen, you know, with the Bengals and the Bills over the weekend. Dak Prescott not having a great game yesterday for the Cowboys, but it just sort of reminded me of being a kid still as a fan without any of the cynicism or anything at all, where you're still trading football cards and just the love of the game.
Yeah,
that's what the weekend reminded me of.
Yeah, it was real football. There were none of the controversies of kneeling and any of that stuff. It was
that's
all
been
football.
A while. Yeah.
It's all, and you know, these guys, when they interview them, and these sideline reporters, the women that are doing all the they're as entertaining to listen to as they are to watch play football.
Well, there were a couple of great moments. One, for sure, DeMar Hamlin, you know, visiting the locker room and being at the game up in the suite. And you know, that made you kind of want to root for the Bills, you know, just for the circumstances. But I'm like all in on Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. And I know they beat Kansas City last year to make it to the Super Bowl. I think they have it in them. Certainly watching the AFC versus the NFC, you sort of feel whoever makes it out of this game has the ability to win the Super Bowl, right? On the AFC side?
I feel pretty strong. The four teams that are left, you know, Jalen Hurts, certainly worth mentioning. The Eagles having a great year.
And they're the only team I can't root for. Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah, fair enough.
Philadelphia, just a miserable place.
49ers stacked on offense. Joe Burrow, you know, three times against Kansas City beat them, you know, looking to get back to the Super Bowl. And then, you know, I mean, that's...
What do you think of Purdy?
Oh, he's created a conundrum in San Francisco. They've got Jimmy Garoppolo, and
he's like third.
Yeah, he was the last player drafted in the NFL draft. He's Mr. Irrelevant, and he is marching down the field, feeling super confident, has the confidence
of
his team.
And you'll get those guys, right?
Yeah, it's very rare.
You know, Philadelphia had one of those guys, you know, the last time they went you know, to a Super
Bowl. Wasn't Tom Brady like the second
He was pretty bad.
Fourth or fifth round. Yeah. But my point being, though, I don't know about him. These other guys, I know about. I mean, they're going to be stars for the next 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years.
That's right.
And we're
going to
have these great games.
How much will the ankle injury affect Holmes next week, do you think?
I think it'll be a huge next week. Tony Romo was talking about that during the game, that when you're in the middle of a game and the adrenaline is flowing and they wrap it up and you can get out there, but once that thing, you know, for a couple of days swells, and he said he'll be on crutches on Wednesday. You know,
probably.
So we'll see whether or not that impacts the game on Saturday. But what you do know is that you're seeing greatness. You know,
can
that game
those?
Between the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers in 1981, the 49ers were 13-3, the Cowboys were 12-4, and it was all the marbles on the table to go to the Super Bowl, right? And they had the catch. Can you name the wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers that caught the ball in the back of the end zone thrown by Joe Montana?
Yeah, Dwight Clark.
Dwight Clark. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Because 1981, you were...
I was 2 years old.
Okay, so you were not watching it live.
Nope.
But it felt like that again this weekend.
I'm glad you got that feeling. This is what I feel when I watch football.
I know. I'm saying it's not all the time. We've not... Look, okay. Nick, you're right. All the commentators talking about this era that we're in with these
quarterbacks. But it didn't start this weekend, Brian. That's why I said I'm glad you get to hop in on it
with us. I'm saying we haven't it didn't start this weekend. You're right. It's been building up to this the last couple of years. But there was a time where we didn't have this, like, the way it is now, where you had these great rivalries that are back, when you had all this talent that was out there, where, like, every game was a toss-up. You just don't know what's going to happen. It's been a while since the NFL has been this good. I mean, with this many all-star quarterbacks. Tom Brady was owning this whole league, you know, at 40-whatever years of age for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think...
quarterbacks were a rotating kind of, you know, oh, we got the guy. No, we don't got the guy. Oh, we got the guy. No, we don't have the guy. It was like a lot of that for a long time.
And you think one of the best lost, Prescott.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, but he didn't play very well.
Not yesterday. He threw two interceptions that I remember.
Yeah, I think they also were making a lot of decisions based around their fear to kick. A lot of, yeah. I mean, they
oh for sure.
I mean, they handcuffed themselves
because they didn't have any confidence.
So they took a 5-yard penalty, and so that the punt had a little longer instead of stepping up and kicking through the uprights or swinging for it.
Did you hear what Governor Abbott said about that?
Uh-uh.
Even I could kick better than him. And he's in a wheelchair. Oh.
They sue him afterwards. All I am saying is that we have true greatness out there that makes it exciting for the sometime fan or the interim fan, not the guy like you that watches every week because you love the love of the game and you're there no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brings more people into it, I think. And then you get the personalities of all these guys, right? That matters, too.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow's great.
Joe Burrow.
I mean, his personality is great. Mm-hmm. You know, because they were sort of treated like an afterthought. Like, you know, they started selling tickets for the game that was going to be if they didn't win.
Yeah, I got the order for him for that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. He when they interviewed him on the field after the game, he said, "You better get your refunds."
Refunds, yep.
So I'm rooting. I'm all in on the Bengals.
Nice.
Who's the wacky guy for San Francisco?
George Kittle.
That guy's fun.
Yeah, I would have probably been all in for the Bills. I mean, whoever comes out of that game, I was probably going to be all in for the rest of the way.
Wasn't it cool to watch the Bills game in the snow like that?
Yes.
That was like old times.
Yeah, my mom, she's biggest football fan I know, you know, loves seeing that. And it's funny because then you flip to the NFC game and the sun's out and it's noticeable.
Oh, I know. It's like San Francisco.
And the Bills are in, you know, every team is building a $1 billion brand new dome stadium. And the Bills are like, we're going to build a brand new outdoor stadium, you know, because we love it like this. I love it.
I've been in their old stadium and it is old. I mean, compared to all these, like what you have in Atlanta. I mean, it's like going back into
Cincinnati's
the 60s.
That way, too, though.
Cincinnati's that way?
Yeah.
Oh, they need a new one.
Yeah. I remember I did a Bengals game. We drove over there. And the thing I remember the most about that is just the proximity of the crowd to the field. I've never in any other NFL stadium, when you're in the end zone, you know, back at that corner, I mean, they're like literally right there.
And yeah, and the referees could hear everything they say.
Every single thing. And you look up and it's a grandmother. And you go, oh, my God. To wash your mouth out with soap.
Did you see the officials diving in to that?
The officials made a lot of
getting into that pile.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The pile, the hot mic stuff. The officials were all over it this weekend.
I've never seen them do that.
Not too frequently, but they were trying to get in there and see it firsthand.
That was pretty cool.
Well, I love there were a couple of hot mic moments. One was when the ref told everybody to just shut up.
Ineligible. He also just said ineligible.
And then there was the other one with the Eagles coach that got into it with the referee, which became a meme over the weekend as well. Those hot mic moments seem to happen more often. You think we would have, I mean, this is like the Zoom call where you don't know whether you're muted or not. Like the better the technology, the more we're used to it, we still make these dumb mistakes.
Oh, yeah. And always will. And, you know, some of the sound in the last maybe 2 or 3 weeks has been so magnified in the mix to the fans, not even the referees, that you can absolutely make out the dialogue that the coaches are giving to the referees or chewing out players or whatever, clear as day. You know, cuss words, the whole nine, in full clear volume.
It seems like there's more of that. And then with the snow, they can't put those first down lines. I mean, that screwed everything up.
Sure did, yeah.
Why?
It has to do with the it's kind of like the weatherman screen, you know, where
the green screen.
Yeah, it's the same sort of technology. It being able to identify the actual spot where it would need to go, and so it's the colors are too close and too similar.
So it would be like, you know, you're watching, and this would have been the Bills Bengals game with the snow on the ground. It's like, okay, now the guy's got the yellow line on his jersey,
right.
And it was like all over the place.
That's exactly right.
When you were watching it,
CBS. Yesterday. There are three young guys, early 20s. In a trailer, I mean, it's like a utility trailer that they set up a laptop computer,
right.
And that's where they do that. They sit there and they're calculating. Mm-hmm. It's pretty, these smart guys, but I know them. One of the guys' name is Kevin. And you would think there's this huge technological machine. It's a laptop. And three guys.
It's always behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that when we went to Las Vegas to do the show out there from the NASCAR race. And we recorded the show from the Fox set for their NASCAR show.
Yeah, that was fun.
And the TV was like duct taped, and you know they had like I mean it was anything but.
Oh yeah, it's
plush.
It's Hollywood. It's the saloon with the 2x4s holding it up in the back, you know. And last night I saw a picture of a woman holding a sign in the end zone that had a picture of a man and it said laces out. And the picture was of the kicker in the Ace Ventura movie that was Ray Finkel or Einhorn making a reference to Ace Ventura, which was centered around a kicker who had the yips. And she was just holding it up in the background,
yeah,
right on TV. And it's, I love looking at the crowd and finding the signs and
no doubt.
And the players, it's in their heads.
All right. So I got to tell you, I don't really care what happens in the NFC.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have a vested interest. I'm not a huge Eagles fan just because that city is like the rudest place on earth.
Yeah.
They cheered when, you know, people, they cheer when people are down, maybe paralyzed, or they threw ice balls at Santa Claus.
Or they paralyzed a person or something.
Well, I mean, they're just, that's the city of brotherly love is anything
but.
They
used to throw batteries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Batteries.
So I would be rooting for the 49ers there for sure to get to the Super Bowl. I think that the Chiefs are, if you watched that game, and they did have the backup quarterback that came in and marched them down for a touchdown.
Yeah, what do you think of that? 98 yards.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes comes back out. But they could have lost that game. The Jacksonville Jaguars were their own worst enemy and had several things that could have happened where that game would have been very different.
Well, if that guy hadn't scored, that backup quarterback hadn't scored, the game would have been tied.
But they had that, turnovers and drop passes, and I mean,
they're just a little early to the party.
They're up and coming.
Oh, no doubt,
and they're going to be there. And that kid, you know, with his hair or not, and all the goofy, is a great quarterback, and they will be there. But they could have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep, they were vulnerable.
Yeah,
and that's what we said about the Bills. The Bills are probably the best team in football, but inconsistent.
The
and
Bengals
they left the door wide open.
Manhandled them. There was just like no doubt that Joe Burrow was like, I mean, he came out.
Man on a mission.
Oh, my God.
Well, Romo just kept saying how big they were.
Yeah.
I mean, this team is just outsized Buffalo. There's no way they're gonna win this game.
And the 49ers are built with a machine-like offense with players on, you know, star players, skill players, up and down.
Okay, but you watch all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm recent to the party. When I watched, you know, those games over the weekend, I felt like the AFC was head and shoulders above the NFC.
I would say so, but the way that Kyle Shanahan can control the ball, it's the equalizer.
Okay.
The Bengals are the better team, but I think they can control the ball enough to take the ball out of Burrow's hands.
No,
so it'll be a little closer in that way.
They're saying the same thing about Kansas City's coach.
Yeah.
You know, even when Mahomes injured, he'll change up the scheme and work around his injury.
That's right. Yeah. And that was obvious.
Now, the Eagles
fans,
those
quick passes,
the tailgaters, they get the nod.
What?
Because they bought the lacrosse tickets. They weren't going to let anybody tailgate until 4 p.m.
Okay.
For the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so right over to the side of that, there was a lacrosse tournament at an event, and they just all bought lacrosse tickets. They park in that parking lot and tailgate starting at like 8 a.m. or 9 a.m.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
No, I mean, that's what they did over this past weekend. So, I mean, they were there all day. Now,
that's the
last thing on earth I want to be around.
Yeah,
but you got to give them a thumbs up for the ingenuity. They were willing to eat the cost of the tickets for the lacrosse tournament just to start partying at 8 a.m.
Why is it that the Philadelphia fans are so rude and the Pittsburgh fans are so smart?
don't know.
They're the best fans, I think.
Are they?
I think they are. I mean, I don't see any of the rude. They're there with the towels. They travel wherever the team goes. They're kind of like you with Atlanta.
I think because with success comes some, like, a class. Cachet of a bit of a class.
Yeah. I think they're
when you've been there and you've done that as many times as the Pittsburgh Steelers have,
yeah,
that there's that you're not the chip on the shoulder thing. I think that the Eagles have.
I think there's also two other factors. I think the road fans going to see a Steelers game is like a trip to Mecca kind of thing. So you want to assimilate and do the things the right way. The other thing is I feel like because they've been around so long, they're kind of an America's team too.
Yeah.
Whenever the Cowboys or Steelers are on my...
When you have that much success.
Yeah, when they're on my ticket schedule for home games, those tickets are worth eight times more than any other team.
I think if you look at them, just national teams. If you look at the 49ers, you'll get the Patriots, and people who have lots of Super Bowl trophies.
And have done it for a long, long time. There's just fan bases.
I think that's right. Mm-hmm. All right, Lindsay's screaming at the radio right now. Because
we're not talking Beatles yet.
That would be the worst, the only thing slightly lower. Coach Prime, have you watched it yet on Amazon?
No, I've not.
Okay. While we're still on the sports thing, soon to be moving off, there's going to be 16 episodes on Amazon. It was all filmed last year, second year as a coach at, what's the name of the university?
It was Jackson State. Now he's at Colorado.
Right. But that was sort of the 16 episodes. It aired, like, I think it started like December 29th or something like that.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. So it's out. There are three or four episodes available. Really good.
Love Dion.
Really good.
Awesome.
It opens up with him, and he is an interesting cat. And he looks a lot older than I remember him looking not very long ago.
He's letting himself look older now.
Is that what it is? Well, I mean, the gait, the walk, the whole thing. Still him. Yep. Got all of the personality. But they literally, this was, the XFL comes back in February, right?
That's right. Got my season tickets.
And The Rock and everybody from the XFL were there, and they had all these players from historic black colleges, like, you know, from Grambling and all, you know, there for like tryouts and get a look at the XFL. Rock gives this unbelievable speech. It is a really good, if you just like the inside, the behind the scenes, the people that are involved, really good documentary series.
Awesome.
16 episodes.
Nice.
That's a lot.
I'm excited. I think I'm probably wearing my Dion hat. Yeah, I am.
It's on Amazon if you want to check it out. And I watched one episode, so that's all I have. I have 1/16 of the equation, but it certainly seems very well done and very entertaining.
Awesome. Thanks for the tip. I had forgotten that it was on.
Yeah. And speaking of that, the tennis show, the documentary, have you watched that?
The tennis?
Is it Breakpoint or Point Break? What was it? Breakpoint.
Breakpoint.
They're going to do a golf one in February. It's on Netflix. You need to watch it. But everybody in that show bounced from the Australian Open. Not one single person, including Rafa, made it to the second week.
Yeah, so the sticky power of that one didn't work out.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, it's like now they're talking about it like a jinx, like the Sports Illustrated cover or the Madden thing. Like everybody in that series, top to bottom, bounced out of the Australian Open.
Yeah, I thought I heard over the weekend that Live Golf got a TV contract.
WB. You can tell me what channel that is?
It's got to be Warner Brothers, right?
CW. And yes, it is.
What did I say? WB, right? CW.
Yeah, it is. Yes. It is. I forgot.
They merged, right?
Mm-hmm. CWB, yeah. I see when I'm trying to get to NBC. Somewhere between NBC and PBS.
How are you trying to
PBS.
Get to have a voice remote?
Yeah, but...
You can hit guide, too. If you want to find it, you can find it.
That's not bad.
You don't need to know the channel numbers.
No, but for sports fans, there is a certain cadence of knowing where all those things are.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Work in a restaurant and ask somebody to put, hey, can you put on the such and such game?
The CW.
What is it? And they're like, it's 661. They will tell you.
Well, I had a hard time finding TBS for the longest time. You know, TBS with basketball. Mm.
You don't have a voice remote?
Well, I do now, but back then, you wanted to watch the playoffs.
Had to adjust the antenna.
I put aluminum foil. It worked just fine.
I don't know. It may or may not work for them. We talked about this last week when it was speculation that the CW was going to be. It doesn't scream prestige.
No, but they're climbing. They're working their way into the mainstream. And with the Masters accepting them, the players, I think.
And that's because of the lawsuits? When you say accepting, I mean, from what I understand, a lot of these tournaments that have wanted to not let them in, there have been a lawsuit that's still waiting to see. I mean, that there's a threat of not accepting them. I mean, do we know that that's the long-term strategy of the majors?
Well, I listened to the Shark the other day, and he said there's another ranking. If they don't get the world ranking points, there's another ranking out there that you can use, and the work around the world ranking. So I think there's a lot of pressure for some big decisions to be made. They're doing a pretty good job of putting it on, the pressure. We'll see.
I don't really know. I don't know that golf is big enough outside of a certain age category in popularity to have the room for both of them the way it is now.
I think the LIV Tour is going after two different markets, meaning if we can get some of this old stuff, great, but let's start anew.
Yeah, but I don't know if that market is out there for them. And they found a home, and we'll see if it works. You know, it's not exactly like the channel that's in the bidding wars for all the major stuff. You know, they got to have something to, you know, make up for the Arrowverse or whatever that's all ending.
I think they're also going for the international market as opposed to just the U.S.
That's fine, too. There's a lot of that. But the international market's crowded with a lot of things that we don't have here or that are not popular here. Soccer at the top of that, right? We'll see. I don't know the 3 days, the no cut, the whole thing. I don't know.
57 holes.
Yeah. I mean, what is it you like about it?
I don't really have a dog in the fight. I'm not anti-LIV, though. I think it's just interesting. As a business guy, this is major league bucks, and they're paying some golfers some major money for show up fees that unlike any other sport I've ever seen. We'll see what happens.
Well,
it could be a bunch of rich people losing a ton of money.
It could be. Show up fees are really not the outlier. That's the unusual or the usual in sports. I mean, people get a contract and they get paid, and we've seen in other sports, those contracts have gotten way out of hand with relation to ticket price and what it costs for the fans to come consume it. And you see this with the Bears, right? They want to build a new stadium, looking for taxpayer support. Taxpayers saying, no, thank you. The upfront money is the thing that made the PGA different, meaning you had to go out and earn it.
Hey, it's nothing these days to pay $300 to $500 for a ticket, a good ticket at any game, at a hockey game.
Yeah.
It's just crazy
and
how much
it's got, there
people
has
are
to
willing
be,
to pay.
Well, a certain amount of people are willing to pay. But are you going to be popular with the masses, or are you just going to be popular with the people that can afford it?
You know, I like the model that it kind of reminds me of is boxing. You take Floyd Mayweather, for example. There's a purse.
Yeah.
If you win, the winner of the fight gets a certain purse. Floyd Mayweather to show up is getting $75 million, and he can get the bigger purse too. But you're paying him to be there because he's the star, and he gets paid either way. And I think the LIV kind of is doing that the same way as we're bringing in the heavyweights.
Yeah, but also he had the box office to get a whole lot of people to pay per view.
He drove the market.
But there was revenue generated. I don't know where the revenue gets generated with LIV.
I think they're just assuming that it's loss leader to begin with,
yeah.
And now they're...
And when you got the Saudi money, you can do that for a while, but that doesn't mean that long-term it's successful.
No. But they'll give it a run.
Yeah.
They're going to give it a solid run at it.
Yeah. I'm not a hater either. I'm really not. I'm not going to watch golf on YouTube. Now they get the CW. We'll see. Who do they get? David Faraday? Who else? Who do they have on? Like, who would be their TV guys?
I don't even know. Faraday's big. I mean, Faraday's a big name.
But he's not a lead guy. He's the side guy. He's the guy you go to for the humor. He's the guy you go to. I mean, he was never even in his heyday.
He'll be the Nick Favre for LIV.
You think so?
Uh-huh. I think he'll be in the main booth.
You're going to have to have somebody beyond that because he's not the guy that's going to be the anchor.
Well, no, they'll have their Jim Nantz kind of guy, and he'll be next to him. He'll be the color guy. But, you know, Nick Faldo drives a lot of that broadcast. People love listening to his perspective as a golfer. And he's funny, and he's witty, and he's handsome. I think Faraday brings a lot of that.
Okay.
And I don't know who the main announcer is. But
when Faraday was with CBS, and you know this because you saw this firsthand, you know, he's out there with a backpack on with an antenna.
He was.
You know, I mean, he wasn't the main guy.
But then he wanted his own TV show.
Yeah,
but
it's terrible.
Well, NBC paid him big to leave CBS, and he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he capitalized on an opportunity, and they'll find some lead guy to do the same thing. I think they're all out there. It's amazing to me to watch football, the way it's all been shuffled around, the way Mike Tirico's been brought in, and they moved Al Michaels out. Now he's on Apple or Amazon. Or something. And then Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are over in ESPN. I miss them terribly on Fox. Even though those guys are pretty good, they just don't bring the same swagger.
No, but they will eventually. You just don't know them as well. Mike Tirico, you could plug into anything. I mean, he could go anywhere, any network, anybody next to him, and be Mike Tirico.
I didn't even realize he was in the broadcast booth. I heard him talking the other night, and I was talking to my mom, and I was like, I said, you know, Mike Tirico, blah, blah, blah. And it dawned on me. I was like, that dude was just plugged in. Is this just a plug in ready to go in anything? You recognize the voice. You trust what he's saying.
There's nobody better presently.
Yeah, I think you're right. You made a comment that I just connected some dots to. You said you wouldn't watch the live on YouTube. Well, the NFL Sunday Ticket is moving to YouTube at next year. And there are certainly going to be millions and millions of people tuning in to football on YouTube. And I think that the live might be coming along a little bit for the ride.
Maybe, but you're bringing history and fan base and, you know, I mean, it's apples and oranges.
No, they're apples. I'm not comparing the live to the NFL. Right. What I'm saying is people are going to be tuning. They're going to get accustomed to watching big stuff on YouTube.
Do you have any idea? Because of the NFL. And I'm just curious about this because I don't know.
Yeah.
The percentage of people who consume the NFL that way versus just watching what the network offers as far as games are concerned. I mean, I've never, and I don't think I ever would subscribe or be like, you know, like an all day thing, like with the game ticket thing. It wouldn't be me, but I don't know how unusual I am versus how unusual you are.
And anybody that is out of the market of their favorite team, that's the only way to do it.
Okay.
Are
you doing it just for that one game?
Yeah. Okay. I pay for the Falcons and I get everything else.
Okay.
And
do you watch everything else or do you just watch the Falcons?
How my day typically goes is I put on the Falcons and then I switch to either the Red Zone or whatever big game. And I could watch all eight at times and I know people that do, but that's how I watch the games that aren't on Fox, and it's most of them.
Okay. Kev, do you do any of that or do you just watch what's on the networks?
On football, I just watch what's on the networks, but when I have nothing to do and I'm looking for something, I go to YouTube and see what's streaming. It's the latest entertainment that's streaming. I watch some great, great concerts on YouTube.
I mean, I'm specifically talking about sports, but I'm just curious. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, the whole world's changing rapidly in the way we consume things. I mean, anything's possible.
Where's Brady going to be next year? Is he going to be on TV or is he going to be a quarterback for San Francisco?
He's going to be irrelevant, which breaks my heart.
Maybe not.
We'll see. I mean, he'll go somewhere. Somebody will pay him a lot of money to go there. If it's the right fit, who knows? Because the guy's that smart and wily. You know, I mean, he's been around long enough to do that. I just think the guy had the opportunity to bow out with the perfect end, the perfect ending, and didn't do it. And now it's going to feel like watching Joe Montana in a Kansas City Chiefs jersey or Joe Namath in a Rams jersey. It's just going to look. I'm not excited about that at all.
Well, if you got the offensive line and the receivers, he can still throw.
I'm not saying he doesn't have talent. I'm saying how many times can you write the perfect ending?
Mm-hmm. Well, the perfect ending for him might be those $100 million waiting for him in the broadcast booth.
It could be. And he might do that. I mean,
he already
knows?
Has a deal.
He's got to deal with Fox.
I mean, he might pull the trigger on that, but he might not. I don't think the guy's ever going to give up. I mean, I don't think he'll quit. Until he has no choice.
Yeah, they have to scrape him off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Probably right.
Yeah. That's sad to me.
Well, he might as well. He gave up his wife for it, so. Wow. He might as well just milk it as long as he can, but the guy's still pretty amazing to me.
He is amazing. I'm not, what I'm saying isn't coming from a negative place. It's coming from a, he should be stepping off the stage. He's already done more than anyone's ever going to do.
True.
It's hard to find that perfect Manning to the Broncos that are just that piece away. Yeah, I know he did.
He did.
To find it again, though.
To find it three times?
Yeah. Yeah, he landed in the right spot in Tampa the first time, and then that team was not what it was the year before. Rams are doing the same. They're the Rams.
It's
are
hard to repeat.
It's
hard to
over.
Come back. Yeah, right.
Well, there are teams that need quarterbacks.
All right, let's do this. Since I'm desperately late for the break, we want to watch Coach Prime. That's on Amazon, and if they were going to have it in Amazon, you know, Prime would be the place where you put it, right? On Amazon Prime. All right, I just got the UGG from Lindsay. She represents kind of the female demographic in the show that we just spent 38 minutes on.
Look at the ratings from football over the weekend. There's a lot of females watching football this weekend.
There are.
Lots. Millions.
Not as many as men.
Still millions.
These sideline reporters know their football. These women are great.
First of all, why do you keep separating into these girls on the sideline?
Because they're all women now.
Okay.
They're all women on the sideline.
There's one. Tom Bellissimo or whatever. He was out there on the sideline this weekend.
Oh, and Tasker shows up now and then. But all I saw were Aaron Andrews and Tracy Wolfson and
Pam Oliver.
Yeah, Pam. I think they were great.
Okay.
And these players love talking to them. I mean,
I'm sure Lindsay's now all on board with the conversation that we've thrown that afterthought to him.
That's what I would do if I were you.
Those girls on the sideline. All right, when we get back on the other
side
of the break.
I'll tell you that. I'm just saying.
I don't even have anything there. When we come back, we've got a lot to get to here, including the mayor coming up at the top of the hour. A little later today, Dr. Juanita Morris will be with us, and Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski, who is back in Washington, D.C., but will be with us via phone. And we'll preview tonight's Soy City Bus. We've got on First Mid Mondays. Is that still the title?
Still is the title.
Just want to make sure it didn't change.
Of course it is.
All right. We'll take the break. Back with more right after this.
John, the price of groceries is enough to send somebody into a panic mode these days.
Yeah, especially when the refrigerator goes kaput.
Even more so. We got a call from a customer who had that problem with a freezer load of those expensive groceries.
And that'll keep you awake at night just thinking about it.
Right. So, because Dick Van Dyke stocks the 100 most used parts, we were able to send a factory-trained tech out to her place to fix the problem before she lost any of that food.
And he wasn't some subcontractor either.
Trained right here locally by the team of Dick Van Dyke.
You know, one way to fight inflation?
Yep.
Keep from having to buy expensive stuff twice.
Yes, you got that right.
This is Dennis Regan, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store, which means you have the company that if anything goes wrong, we'll make it right. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
The United Way Trivia Series is back for one monster night, courtesy of Bodine Electric. Join us Saturday, January 28th at the Hall at 520, formerly the KC Hall, for a night of trivia and good food, all for the United Way. Cost is $25 a person for trivia and the heads and tails game. Teams can be up to 8 players, and mulligans and 50-50 will be available. Plus, $1,000 of prize money is on the line. The United Way Trivia Night, sponsored by Bodine Electric, Saturday, January 28th at the Hall at 520. Details at uwdecatur.org and the United Way Facebook page.
I didn't think it was possible to meet someone like Susan. We just clicked after realizing we each have a strong sense of self and share the same core values in life.
After taking our advanced personality test, Daniel and Susan matched on Silver Singles, the secure dating site for 50-plus singles who know what they want. Sign up today at silversingles.com/date. That's silversingles.com/date.
Paid actors representing true customer testimonials. Names have been changed.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Did you do that as a nod to Kevin? He's a big Boz Scaggs fan.
I am.
I know he likes it.
You didn't. Come on now. All right. right. We have a lot to get to here between the now and the end of the show. A couple of things. If you're not watching the mayor of Kingstown, you really need to. It is so good. It may be the best show on TV outside of The Last of Us. Those two now, and they're teed up on Sunday nights, which made it really difficult because you had the Cowboys, 49ers, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do. Well, I know what to do because Lindsay's there. We watched Mayor of Kingstown. But it is, Jeremy Renner is, you know, now at home, right? Broke 30 bones.
30 bones, yep.
In that snowplow accident. And it's going to be a long while and a long road to recovery. But he is so good in that show. And that show is so good. You know, that the way it built season one to end. And then now this is the second episode, I think, of the new season. They just picked right up where they left off.
Nice. Didn't get to watch last night's episode. Can't wait to.
If you're not watching it, you really, I mean, it is just about as good as anything.
Yeah, it's maybe one of my favorite shows the last 10 years.
Yeah, right. And it's, you know, Taylor Sheridan is the creator, but it doesn't really, I mean,
Antoine Fuqua behind it as well.
Exactly. But it doesn't really feel like the Yellowstone universe at all. I mean, it's a completely different thing. It takes place in a mythical city in Michigan, you know, where it's like a steel town and a prison town. Are you watching it at all?
No, but there's a new one coming out about 1923, is that what it's called?
It's already been on out for like a month and a half.
Has it been out? I thought it was new.
It's already on hiatus. Until,
have you seen it?
Yeah, with Harrison Ford.
Is it great?
Yeah, it's good.
Looks good.
Yeah. But you haven't watched Mayor of Kingstown at all?
No. I'm still in the middle of The Wire. Yeah, I only have so much time to watch six seasons.
Well, that was 20 years ago. You've had time.
I'm catching up.
Where are you in The Wire?
Season two.
Okay.
Well, I got caught up on David Crosby last, I didn't get to watch any of The Wire this weekend between football and documentaries on Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
All right, so obviously David Crosby died. I'm assuming that was the reason why you went down that rabbit hole.
Right.
Yeah, what did you learn?
I learned he was an old curmudgeon.
Yeah, he was a young curmudgeon and a middle-aged curmudgeon and then an old curmudgeon.
Well, as an old curmudgeon, he admitted how bad he was as a person. I mean, he alienated all his partners, Stills, Nash, and Young.
And the birds.
Didn't talk to him. And he admitted that he was horrible. But he was, kind of felt sorry for him. It was like a biography documentary. He narrated the whole thing. And he went back to our house, our little tiny house. You know, the song that Nash wrote with Joni Mitchell. And so all that, a lot of history. Laurel Canyon.
Laurel Canyon's a great show, but it's not about just him. I mean, it's
no,
about
but he
that
went
whole...
back to Laurel Canyon.
Oh.
And started showing the different sites.
I thought you meant the documentary Laurel Canyon.
Well, I knew all about Laurel Canyon because of that documentary.
Yeah.
But his documentary resurrected it.
Okay.
He went back to the beginning. It was interesting, really interesting. And
I feel like I got enough just then.
Okay.
Like I really didn't need to like go and do the other thing.
Lindsay say anything on that?
Out obscure you on that front. I watched a documentary on John Waite over the weekend.
John Waite. Oh, the singer John.
Yes.
I'll be damned. John Waite.
Yes.
Was it about a half hour long?
No. Funny that you say that. Lindsay had the same reaction. It's called John Waite the Hard Way. He's 70 years old now, which was kind of mind-boggling to me, you know, when you think about time and place. But he was first the singer of the band The Babies, which, you know, had several hits. Here's the crazy thing. The music industry was so terrible. I know, like, Taylor Swift will complain all day long. They had five or six albums in as The Babies, and they had several hits. He had earned $6,000 through five albums because they owed the record company so much for tour costs and the way they used to do this and rob the artists, you know, back in the late 70s and early 80s. And then he went solo and had the huge hit Missing You, which was like on MTV for like 26 weeks in high rotation, number one, you know, in America. And then went on to do the other band with the Journey guys, which everybody sort of forgets about. Called Bad English, you know, and they had some hits, and he's just had an interesting career. And he was one of those guys that probably could have made a lot more money and been a lot more successful had he not been an artist, like a true artist. and the art was more important to him than the money. But it takes place, here's the interesting thing in the documentary, during COVID and the shutdown. And as a guy who plays 80 to 100 shows a year, still at his age, you know, that inability to get out in front of an audience and play was just like taking a toll on him. So it's an interesting sort of documentary about an artist. And the Babies, I think, were completely, if you go back and look at some of their music, it's great. It still holds up. Really, really good. That was the same reaction Lindsay had. Thank you.
I had the same experience Saturday, all day Saturday.
But I ended up liking John Wade at the end of the
documentary. Yeah, you end up like, well, when you watch him for an hour and a half, you end up liking somebody, especially when they do it themselves.
Did you feel that about David Crosby?
Kind of. I felt sorry for him. He didn't want to die. He kept talking about it. He said, I should be dead. There's no reason for me to be alive with everything I did to my body. And all my friends are dead because of it. I survived. I don't know why, but I don't want to die. He didn't seem like a tremendously faithful kind of guy.
Yeah, he was mocking that all the way to the end.
So I think he's...
I think a tweet before the day he died, right, Nick? Is that right?
Yeah, the day before.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, somebody had, he made mention that he heard Heaven was overrated. You know, and what do you call it, smoky or
cloudy?
Cloudy.
Cloudy. Yeah.
Well, the way he lived his life, I'm sure he'll be bored in heaven. I don't think there's a whole lot of heroin up there.
I can't imagine when you get to that age living that life. And I would throw, Ron Wood, Keith Richards. How in the world do you get to that point and go, I don't even want to think about dying. I mean, the life you have lived and the stuff you have done in 70, 75 years on this earth.
Yeah, Mick Jagger, same way.
No, Mick Jagger is clean.
My gosh, you read his book. But when it comes to women, he wasn't clean. This guy philandered everywhere there was to philander.
And that's the same as heroin in shortening your life.
Well, it can be.
Well,
you go to the wrong place.
It'll wrap it up pretty quick. I'm assuming Mick had a higher level of accessibility than that. No, he was the guy who wasn't the guy doing that stuff in the Rolling Stones. I mean, as far as the drugs and the hard drugs and all of that.
You don't think he did drugs?
I think when he was a kid, but I don't think that he was the guy that's, cleaning up and drying out in his 50s, the way Keith Richards was, falling out of a coconut tree. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, minimally, if he did, he could always just, look at that guy. It's certainly not to that level.
Right, I'm not that guy over there.
Yeah, that's what doing drugs looks like. Forget what I'm doing.
The John Waite thing may or may not be of interest to you. It's on Amazon if you want to check it out. I found it very compelling, just from an artistic point of view, and a guy who's been around a long time. And I'd forgotten that he redid that Missing You with Alison Krauss, which became a hit later.
Yeah, I think that was
a great song.
Yeah. And I think that might have outpaced the original one's popularity.
Ooh, I don't know. The original one was literally number one on the charts for a long, long time and was in heavy rotation, like 8 times a day on MTV, for like 26 weeks. It was a big, big hit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that Alison Krauss that was from Champaign?
I think so. She's married to Elvis Costello, right?
Yeah. I saw her. She's really good. What a talent she is.
She's a multi across the board, like talent in a million different ways. Yep. I think that when that song came out, the remake of that, it did very well on the country music charts, which, the original certainly wouldn't have been. All right. What's coming up tonight?
Well, this week it'll be Eric Lee on sports. I got a feeling we're going to be talking football. And Ray and Kim Fields from Papa Murphy's.
Good
is going
people.
To be kind of a. This is going to be kind of an entrepreneur show. They're going to come. What a great pizza place that is. Brett Cerfowski and Tom Cantwell are going to talk about Central Illinois Crematorium, the big talk out in Forsyth. They just put that new facility up. And then Dave from the Red Zone is going to be here. So a lot of small businesses tonight.
The Red Zone.
Yep. You want to know more about
fitness. The fitness out there by the police department.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Where? CrossFit.
Okay.
It's back there. It's one of those newer steel buildings. It's off to the, if you're facing the police station, off to the right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was unaware of that.
I'm surprised you didn't get into CrossFit as much as you are into weightlifting and physical fitness.
No.
Hey, you know Tim Patton? You know Tim Patton in my office?
I do know Tim.
He just became a black belt.
Really?
Last week.
In what?
Karate.
I mean, is it karate?
Or whatever Kevin Hinton does. Do you know, he's like the master or whatever it is. I don't know enough about karate. I thought you would be excited about that.
Well,
you're a black belt.
I mean, there's, depending on the origin of the country in which it, I mean, if it's Korean, it's Taekwondo. If it's Japanese, it's karate. If it's Chinese, it's Kung Fu. And then there are many variations, you know. But that's the sort of the basic, depends on the discipline from what country.
Yep. Well,
Black belt, you know, designation kind of crosses over several of those.
Well, I know he's been doing it for years. Yeah. I'm really proud of him. At 64 years old,
getting
a black belt.
Interesting to see what it takes to get a black belt these days.
Well, I guess the final exam is pretty tough.
Yeah.
He said he was pretty nervous and was pretty rough. He was exhausted.
I bet.
But he got through it.
Interesting.
Some guy comes in from out of town.
They used to bring in a whole bunch of people. You know, when I was a kid, I think 15 or 16, I can't remember. We had testing and they would do testing monthly, you know, like you start like,
yep.
You know, all the way through and they would bring three or four masters in from like all over the Midwest. And they kind of like looking back at it now as a kid, I think I kind of justified like, oh, they were trying to like make us tough. And I think they were just sadistic. I just think they enjoyed it.
And my nephew just got a black belt in Taekwondo not
really?
Too long ago. I went and watched the testing and. You
and
know.
What did they do? What was the
forget
testing?
The terminology of you have the sequences.
Forms?
Yeah, the forms.
Yeah.
You have to do all the forms, and then you have to do some sparring, and you have to show, you know, the restraint, but be able to
right.
show the variety of the moves. And then I believe at the higher degrees, there were breaking of boards, bricks,
oh, yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
all of that sort of stuff. And then heavier sparring with the pads and really
yeah,
getting
yeah, yeah,
in
yeah.
there.
I mean, you have the katas, right?
Yep.
Well, that's the same as the forms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty grueling. And you know, and they have a panel of judges.
The panel though, they would also they would grill you at least
yes.
back
yes.
in the day like where you had to like literally you know answer questions
yes.
and
that's
and
talk still to part
them.
Of
still
it.
Still part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is he here local or
Champaign.
Champaign.
Yep.
I made it to like yellow or purple. I can't remember which. I think it was purple.
I don't even remember.
It was
a
white,
purple.
Yeah. White, yellow, purple. I think.
Yeah. Was it?
You know, a green was in there.
White, yellow, green blue, red,
was it the
brown,
third level?
Black. Mm-hmm. Was from when I was.
Aren't there different sections of brown? I mean,
there's degrees.
One, two, three different degrees of brown.
Yeah, that's called money.
Oh, it is?
Oh, because you have a testing fee.
Then the embroidered gi or whatever. It's
they
not
even
a gi
embroider. And... They just give
well,
you like, they give you tape on your belt. you know, so like your $35 uh-huh. to get your second degree mm-hmm. brown belt was literally athletic tape.
That's right. That's right.
I was at the point where you're breaking boards.
Yeah. That's pretty easy.
They do that pretty early so that you get the experience.
Right.
So that you go, hey, look what I can do.
The breaking of the boards is the biggest mythology. There's nothing to it.
That's right. But it means so much to the person doing it if you're young. I still probably have mine.
Physically, though?
No, it's nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I've watched them get broken in before the kid hits it because they're pushing
yes.
the thumb pressure on the back.
I think the most I ever had to break was five boards
oh, wow.
together.
Holy smokes.
Right?
Yep.
But it is also a matter of physics. It's mm-hmm. like if you break the first two to three, it breaks the rest
yeah.
of them. The same thing with the concrete blocks. Now, the whole difference is, and if you ever watch this or see it, is the patio blocks mm-hmm. or whatever they would, you know, yep. normally think of. You know, I think when I tested for my black belt, it was four. But
man.
If you put dividers in there,
yeah.
it could be 10.
Right. It doesn't
and
matter.
You're, if they're all on mm-hmm. top of each other mm-hmm. without dividers, whole different story.
That's right. Yeah. It's
well,
just
a divider,
compression.
Like a piece of wood?
Like a pencil or something, you know, anything that gives
oh.
elevation
oh.
between
yeah.
the blocks.
Which helps the
so
block above
you,
to knock the block below.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a chain reaction.
So but it was all mental.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, because we're running out of time.
Thank you for that, Mr. Producer Man.
Elvis Costello married Diana Kroll.
I'm sorry.
The jazz pianist. Allison Krauss, born right here in Decatur.
She was born in Decatur? I thought
yeah.
she was born in Champaign.
Yeah, and raised in Champaign. Yep.
Why did I think Elvis Costello was married?
Who was she married to, did it say?
I don't know.
All right.
She's married somebody famous too.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. But aren't they kind of similar in their background, music wise?
I don't know that.
She did like Brothers Were Out.
Where Art Thou?
Where Art Thou?
Yep.
She did a lot of that music.
Okay.
She's kind of bluegrass.
Mm-hmm. But I think she's all over, and I think Diana Krall is too. I mean, I think they've had similar careers. Maybe that was why I was thinking of them musically or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Yeah, so she was born in Decatur.
Yeah, I've seen billboards over the years with her. Decatur's own Alison Krauss here at the State Fair or whatever.
Really, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, she talked about champagne when she did the concert, so she must have grew up there.
All right. Say goodbye, Kevin.
Goodbye, Kevin.
We'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, Soy City Buzz on First Mid-Monday.
Yes, there we go.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.